We're on page 451, 452. In the Hebrew, it's about a third of the way down, a little above half. The first one is Yisbarach, there's a dot there, Vihine Yisarusa. And it's the first paragraph on the left side in the English. This is a letter from the Alter Rebbe, of course, because the Geras HaKodesh was encouraging people to give tzedakah, and he said that the idea of tzedakah is shalom, and the avoda of tzedakah is security and peace forever. And so you understand what's the difference between the two of tzedakah and avoda tzedakah. So he's first been talking about shalom. And specifically, Eiser Shalom Bim Raimav, the idea that Gavriel and Mechoyel don't put each other out, and we're not talking about fire and water per se, we're talking about even in their source. And that this comes down to us and manifest in kindness and in severity, but as they work together, so it's called Teferis. Okay, which is the composition of both kindness and severity working in perfect harmony. Now, when Hashem gets excited, which we have this expression, an arousal from below causes an arousal from above. But what causes the arousal from below is an arousal from above.
Right.
So really, deep down, even though we say that the initiator is from below, yes, meaning us, yes, but the real initiator is from above.
Yes.
Okay, so that really it's Hashem sort of like pushing the person to say, you know, I really think I should do something.
Right.
Okay, and when the person now goes and does it, obviously, they're going to do it with whatever excitement they're going to have. And this is going to cause an arousal from above. So, but he says now, this is an arousal from above. And it is also talked about in the books that sometimes you can have arousal from above just spontaneously, like the bas kols that go out that people hear about, voices ringing through heavens, which are not psychotic episodes, and other instances of arousal of excitement from above. So he says now, what happens? You have this arousal from above. This is the whole idea of making peace between Ochoil and Gavriel, creating the realm of Teferis, which is a perfect harmony between the two. La'er gile ha'ar rabba hashpa hatzuma kanal me'or nisei baruch hu. This is arouses an awesome and tremendous amount of revelation as an expression of the infinite of Hashem, laser shalom hanal, in order to smooth over all the edges from above. Because we said at the onset that if you have one force going one way and one force going the opposite way, you're going to need a greater force to unite the two together. And so this force, which is causing there to be peace, is actually a greater force than both Chesed and Gevurah, and is able to unite them so that they form the single entity.
Physics for a moment. I was thinking of the strong force.
It's exactly where we had it first. Okay. This is from arousal from above, b'maisa hatzdaka, with the act of tzedakah. Okay, so we see that what we had said before, you have something called tzedakah, and you have something called avodas tzedakah. So he brings this idea of maisa tzedakah, just doing the act, doing tzedakah. Okay, just as an insight, when you use the word oisik implies like effort, occupation of, occupying in. Okay, it means that there's diligence involved. Or if you just say tzedakah, okay, flip the guy a quarter, you go on your way,
right.
You know, and right. No big deal.
Right.
He doesn't think anything of it, you don't think anything of it, and so that causes peace to be in the world. But it's only when there's this isik, that there's this effort that is put in, then it creates something different. So he brings in this idea of maisa tzedakah. Which maisa hatzedakah is not bad. because this is a risul tativa hashpas chayim chayin vechesed verachmim lamad aleisle megami klum lahachi azruach shefalim. That what happens is, what is this person doing by giving tzedakah? Is there's now, he is directing godly influence to that person of life and graciousness and kindness and mercy to someone who doesn't have anything, and to enliven the spirit of the downtrodden. Okay, this person wouldn't be begging if they didn't have.
Right.
So the fact that a person is just throwing the guy a quarter, so he's now got something. What is it that he's got? So we said last week that Malach Mechoil is manifest in kindness in every way that kindness is manifest in this world. The sweetness of an apple, the sugar from a candy, a smile, water, and flipping a guy a quarter is also an act of kindness. Mm. Okay, so this so what you're doing then is with that quarter is you're directing the godliness, you're directing vitality to that person. This person needs the quarter for what? To live. And where is life coming from? Life is coming from Hashem's kindness. So by you just giving the quarter, a redirecting, how much a quarter's worth? Okay, don't get so excited. You know, so that's why it says that what's the maximum tzedakah you could give a poor person? It says, until a person says, I don't need it anymore.
Right.
Okay, meaning to what? He's no longer in a situation of leisle megarma klum. He says, I have nothing.
Right.
Now he says, I have everything. I got enough.
Right.
Now it's interesting that he uses this expression of leisle megarma klum. I'm not sure if this is an expression which is to be found in the Gemara any place as far as the relationship to a pauper per se. Mm-hmm. But in the Zohar, the expression leisle megarma klum refers to the sphere of malchus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't even footnote. He doesn't even footnote that either. Meaning to say that Malchus is called the Ani. Malchus is called the poor one.
Okay.
And what happens now? So what's the purpose of Malchus? Purpose of Malchus, yeah, is to distribute chayas. Right. That's the governor. And all expressions of the term governor, like in an engine and like a guy sitting in a legislature.
Politician.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, he's doing the same thing. Okay. Now, what does the governor get it from? It's Leisle Megarma Klum. He doesn't have anything of his own.
Right. It's from somewhere else. From other source.
It's all coming from someplace else. Now what you're doing is you're the one providing the chayas for Malchus to be able to distribute.
Right.
Okay. The God wants the godliness to come down. That's the whole deal, like with Rosh Hashanah. Okay, mm-hmm. What happens on Rosh Hashanah is it's all appropriated.
Right.
This is how much godliness is going to come into the world, but it doesn't come down all at once, because that would be
a little overwhelming.
Yeah, and counterproductive.
Correct.
We're not allowed that well.
If you received on the first day of the year all the money that you're going to make for the course of the year, most people wouldn't make it to the end of the year.
Yeah. 2 weeks, you're done.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I got all this money, I can do what? Yeah. Yeah, so.
They bought a yacht, and the rest of the year they're eating.
Yeah, unless, of course, they paid all their yearly bills.
Right.
This is how much I need for my mortgage for the year. This is how much I need for my tuition. This is for my health insurance. Right. This is for my, you know, my utilities. And if you could be that, you could spend like one day just like paying all your bills for the course of the year, and then you would see how much you have left over for food,
right,
clothes,
right.
Okay, so it doesn't work that way, and Hashem knows his customers. He knows not to work it that way, because we don't have the kind of discipline to do such a thing.
Right.
So it comes down, but it has to be sort of like, you need, what is it called, I never could say this word, ombudsman to get it out of appropriations. Okay, there's different things in the government. This is the way the government works. My daughter, who was a political science major, keyed me in that who is the person with the real power in this country. Okay, you have the person.
Sources of money.
Exactly. You have the person. You have the person. You have the bill. The bill passes Congress. Okay, and the bill that passes Congress has to have in it some sort of mechanism whereby money can be distributed.
Funding.
Okay, there has to be a funding mechanism in it.
Right.
Okay. So the funding part goes to the Appropriations Committee.
Correct.
And the Appropriations Committee has to appropriate and say, yeah, we're going to appropriate this much amount of money for this founding of this bill.
Right.
Okay. But the ombudsman is the guy who signs the checks.
Right.
Okay. Until he gets around to it, nothing happening.
Exactly.
Okay. This is the most powerful person. And this is not an elected official either.
Yeah, he's appointed.
No.
Isn't he appointed?
No. He works his way up.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
I thought he was appointed.
Uh-uh.
Oh, someone in the real world who runs things. Huh?
Right, exactly.
They can't run for us. You can't have a politician do that.
That's right.
That's fortunate for us.
It's not political. That's very fortunate
for us.
Yeah, this person started out as a G1, worked his way up to whatever, a G18 or 19, whatever it is. Yeah. And he's the one signing the checks.
On our behalf, without asking us.
They're going to say, otherwise, we need to put that man on permanent vacation in Hawaii and leave the checkbook in
right.
in Washington.
Right. Anyway, so that's what Zlaisle Megarme Kolum means. It doesn't have enough, but what you're doing is you're supplying. So the appropriation is made on Rosh Hashanah. We're going to give this amount of money during the course of the year. Then, so it has to go back again through the committee until it reaches that specific level of malchus, which is the individual ombudsman, which is going to allow the releasing of the chayas. Mm. And what is it that causes that releasing of chayas is what you're doing. It's dependent on us for the whole entire year. Mm. Person can't say, listen, I was good to Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
I went to shul on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
I heard shofar on Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
I ate brisket on Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
That should be enough for the whole year.
Right.
Okay? No, it doesn't work that way. Even if you said, I prayed fervently the whole Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't work that way. It has to be every single day. There's the meeting out of new chayas.
So that's why giving a dollar four quarters separately is better than just giving a dollar once.
It's along that line.
Yeah, it's four.
That's separate. Why though you have to give every day.
Okay,
because it's the every day which is
consistent action.
But it's allowing the chayas to come down correct. For that day specifically.
Correct.
Okay.
Channel for that day.
It's like it wasn't hell. You know, it's like. I gave you yesterday, but I ate it yesterday, you know? So, okay, you ate yesterday, you got to eat today? Yeah. Yes. So.
Can I join you for breakfast?
Umaydaz, you should know. Ma'ashamar is all that which our sages just say. Kol ha'isak b'tera l'shma, meisim shalom b'falmal yishamayla falmal yishamata. It doesn't necessarily have to come through tzedakah that you get peace. So we have this statement also from the Zohar. That anybody, actually this is from a Gemara, anybody who occupies in learning Torah for the reason that it's supposed to be occupied in, meaning you're learning Torah because the Torah needs to be learned, or there's, in Tanya, so we had it before in chapter 5, in order to connect his soul to Hashem,
yes.
But generally the way that one would learn Lashma is listen, the Torah was given to the Jewish people, and if Jews don't learn it, who's going to learn it? Got to learn it. So that's Lishma. For no ulterior purpose other than the fact that the Torah needs to be learned. Okay? So when a person learns Lishma, and there's always that, you can put that word in italics and underlined, etc., then it creates peace in all the realms. Okay? How does that work? He explains what that means, but not how it works. Because he explained what the Falmal Yishamal is and Falmal Yishamata, and he's going to explain it again. It says, how does it work, is when a person is learning it because it's supposed to be learned, that's not directing the Torah anywhere.
Right.
that means that the Torah now goes to where it's supposed to go. Okay, what is the Torah supposed to do? The Torah is the connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. The Jewish people and Hashem. Three knots, there are three knots, okay, or three bonds. The bond of Hashem with the Torah and the bond with Hashem with the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are bound to Hashem through the Torah. Okay, so it's a love triangle. So the Torah that the person learns, if it's not trying to direct it someplace, I'm learning this in order that someone could realize I'm a big person. Okay, directs the Torah to Klippa, as he's going to talk about later in the 40s. Or as we talked about before in the 40s, excuse me. We're way ahead of that. We've already done that already.
Okay,
yeah. And if a person does it for just stop, he's got nothing else to do. I mean, you know, it's just without thinking. So it just kind of like hangs around, not going anywhere, until he goes back and says, I'm learning this for the right reason. As has been discussed in the previous chapter, an earlier chapter, is much earlier. So this is not it's not bridled. So therefore, since it's not limited, because it's not directed in any way that's not supposed to be directed, so therefore it makes peace up and above. What does it mean? Famali shel maila hema sarim amidos hanam. That refers to the angels and the attributes of Hashem. Shehein ha'echalus el yainim bo'ilam abriyah shebezor ha'kodesh. That refers to the outer chambers of the world we talked about last week in the world of creation, as mentioned in the Zohar. And falmal yishol mata hein echalus ha'tachtenim. That's down here. Uberpad bo'ilam azeh. This physical world. Hashefel ha'ma'urev b'teivara. This low world which is mixed of good and evil. Mechait adam arishin. That we're still suffering from because of what Adam did. V'harash shelet alatev. And the evil dominates over the good. And when a person down here learns, well, what does that cause? That causes good to dominate over the evil. And therefore, since good is dominating, so then everybody's happy. So that's called peace in Famali Shamata, making peace down here. Because you're taking out the chayas that the forces of evil have.
Right.
And very simply, how is that done? Is a person is more inclined to do whatever their Yetzirah is saying.
Right.
That's the easier path. And the person is going to extend the extra effort and go and follow the Yetzirah Tov, so that's going to basically take the wind out of the sails of the Yetzirah.
Right.
That's why it says, one of the things that it says is if your Yetzirah is really bothering you, schlep it to the base of Medrash. And that will weaken it. Okay, because the whole purpose of the Torah now is to make the world right. Mm-hmm. And if the person is getting really into it and says, yeah, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, I'm in that groove with the learning of the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates an atmosphere down here where there is generated all the right chayas, all the channels are open.
Right.
Okay. So therefore, if all the channels are open, everything's flowing the way it's supposed to be, and there's no regurgitation, there's no backwash, there's no stopping in the pipes, no stoppages, no leaks, no breaks.
Right.
So you never get called on a job if there's nothing wrong.
Right.
Okay. If there's nothing wrong, no one's asking you to fix it. Okay. Those are the things that don't make noise.
Right.
I'm getting all the time now about people and their kids in Israel, and my wife also, you know. So my response is, there are 8 million people that didn't get killed in Israel yesterday.
Right.
Okay, so what's to worry about? There's 8 million people that didn't get killed. Okay. I advise people, you're worried about your child getting killed, tell them do not get into a passenger car. There is more chance of them getting killed in an automobile accident
correct.
Than there is in a terrorist attack.
Correct.
You know, the thing you're worried about, the buses and the trains and the light rails, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Not to worry. But so now, we have to regress. So that's this low world, which is mixed with good and evil from Adam Arishon, and the evil is dominant. Asher shalad ba'adam, as it rules over the person. And so what the person has to do is turn the tide away from it. And in doing so, as he talked back in chapters 12 and 13, by unplugging the Yetzirah, so it just dies. But that, the constant focus, which we talked about before, le'um le'um le'yametz, and one is opposite the other, as is in reference to Yaakov and Esav in utero, that that Shem said, well, they're going to be fighting, and they're going to basically be fighting until the end of time.
Yeah.
And one will try and dominate the other, and then the other will try and dominate the first. But they'll never be in a state of equality or equanimity.
Equal domination.
There's no. There's only one boss at any one given time. They're not sharing anything. Take a look at, first of all, he says, take a look at yourself. Every person is called a small world, a complete world. Every person is a world. Mm-hmm. You want to call us a microcosm? Okay, that's good. Call us a microcosm. But we're still a singularly unique individual.
Right.
Sometimes the good dominates, and sometimes the opposite happens. The ain shalom ba'olam ad ace kates. She's bar hatev maharali davar b'shorshin. So now you got stuff going on. It's a constant back and forth. When is it that a person, at what age can a person let their guard down?
None.
Never.
None.
Trick question.
Yeah, none.
Okay, the guy's 120 years old.
Keep it up till you're 130.
Yeah, he's 120 years old. We already said before, the Mishnah says that 100, he's like, he's ever bottled, ever
been right.
Oil.
Dead from the world,
it's
right.
Like, yeah, he's like, physical pleasures have no pleasure for him. Yeah, a nechta good talk.
Yeah.
Okay, 100-year-old man, he still has the same, they call he's still the same idiot he was when he was 12.
Yeah.
Okay, so so the person always has to be engaged in this.
Yes.
Because by doing so, it changes the natural order of the way that the world is being created now. Now we live in a world that is dominated by bad, and most of the world is bad, and whatever little effort we can do will help change the tide. But you can say, wait a minute, there's 7.5 billion people out there, and they're all, I would say most of them are doing something wrong, which, okay, how wrong are they doing it? But you want to say that most of the world is bad? Who am I? I'm 1 in 7.5 billion people. So no. So if you light one candle in a totally dark room, it's not dark anymore.
Right.
So the expression that a little bit of light pushes away a lot of darkness is not exactly true, because when you have the light on, it's not dark anymore.
Right.
Something from this parsha that Rashi says that when a guy comes in with a camel full of flax, and the one spark of the anvil from the blacksmith will burn it up, and that the darkness from Esav, one spark from Yosef, is going to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. Okay, so you need a little bit of Kedusha, a little bit of light in the darkness to make it not dark. You need a little bit of holiness to balance out the whole great mass of darkness.
And
there's no peace in the world until the good is purified from the evil, because if the evil contains in it no sparks of goodness, what happens to it? It dies.
It dies, yeah, it's cool.
It's got nothing to keep it going.
That's right.
Its chayas is the godliness.
Right.
If you extract the godliness from it, even if it's only klipas noga, which means it's elevatable evil, but notice the noun over there and notice the adjective.
Hmm.
Okay, elevatable evil.
Hmm.
Okay, it's still evil. Okay, when Mashiach comes, it's Vava Ruach Tumah Min Haaretz. So Klipas Noga is also going to disappear.
Yeah.
There's no reason to have Klipas Noga at that point. The whole reason why we have Klipas Noga now is to challenge our integrity.
Yes.
that, do I need to eat this? Do I not need to eat this?
Right.
And how am I going to eat this?
Right.
That's the whole reason why there's Klippas Noga now, is that we can overcome the darkness of the Klippa as much as we're presented with. Okay, down the bottom of the page. That then, when there is a person's in this groove, and they're stuck, they're cleaving to their source, which is the life of Hashem, then it will be that all impurity will be scattered, and the spirit of impurity will be wiped off the face of the earth. Okay, she is bar mitzechas when Mashiach comes, and what will be purified from it? Will affect this little bit that the person's able to do. You're bringing godliness into the world. If you bring a little bit of godliness into the world, it's a whole lot. Because if you're talking about qualitatively, it's still qualitatively infinite. So that quarter that you're flipping at the guy without even thinking about it. So how is it possible that should be making Falmalia Shomat piece that, you know, what do you call it? Shalom Bein Falmalia Shomata Falmalia Shomata. Is because you're bringing down all that elikus. Put it into simple time, simple terms. With that quarter, does this poor person get to buy something to eat and stay alive? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so you're bringing life into the world.
Right.
Okay, preventing death is also called bringing in life, because there's only one way to prevent death.
That's to bring life.
And that's to bring life. As it says that the world will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem, and the glory of Hashem will be revealed, and all flesh will see. That's what's going to be in the future. Mitzvah zutfila, aishar itim azumanim lihizbayde, no, it's matzah zutfila, aishar itim azumanim lihizbayidim kainay. That what has to happen now, while we're still in Gullus, a person has to take out time during their davening, or some other appropriate special time, to be alone with Hashem. And you talk to God, just you and God. Have a nice conversation. He's listening. Even if you don't think you get an answer, still listening. And he gets a little bit of this purification when he's sitting and he's learning for the right reason. So rather than just sitting there and fetching and clugging and etc., clucking, how close you want to be to Hashem, take the easy road. Go learn. Because when you learn, you are sticking to Hashem, as he said way back in chapter 5. The Kain Alei Tzedakah, and so too, it's the same thing with giving charity. Kemo Shekazav Rabbi Elzer Yav Prutu La'ani V'Hadir Matzli. He said, Rabbi Elazar, before he would daven, would go looking for a person, a poor person. He would give that person a pruta, which is not a whole lot of money. And then he would go and daven.
Right.
As it says, I with righteousness perceive your face. The famous story with the Tzemach Tzedek, that on his, he was the previous, the Friedrich, one more time, the Alter Rebbe had already passed away. And he had been trying whatever he could. He wanted to have some sort of a vision of the Alter Rebbe. He missed the Alter Rebbe so much. And someone approached him and asked him for a loan of 50 kupkas, whatever the expression was, whatever it was, in order he could go buy a calf. And with the calf, what was he going to do? It was either he was going to sell it at a higher price, or he'll slaughter it and butcher it, and butchered meat gets more for some total than the
calf.
Right. Okay, so the Tzemach Tzedek told them, I'm on my way to davening. Now, after I get done davening, you come and see me, and I'll give you the money. And then he put his talus on his shoulder. He realized, wait a minute, I'm not going to be done davening. Tzemach Tzedek, I'm not going to be done davening until 4 o'clock. So at that point, the market is closed. There's nothing left. There's nothing to sell to anybody, and there's nobody there to buy it from you.
Right.
So he took off his talus, and he went, and he found a man, and he gave him the loan.
Yeah.
Okay, this wasn't even an act of charity.
No.
But it says the best way.
It's higher.
The best way. The best way that you can. The best act of charity is that you give a person the money to make a livelihood.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's only 50 cents is what it was. A calf. A calf now costs you about $100.
Can you get a calf for $100?
I think you get a calf for $100.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. You can get a big old sheep for 80 around here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
But what are you going to do with a big old sheep? You
know, not much.
Barbecue.
Yeah. No, you got to do more than that to it. There's a reason why they don't serve mutton. You can't find mutton in the stores over here. No one would want to eat it. Anyway, so
spit.
Yeah, so I got sidetracked. Anyway, so he says a calf was a big deal. It's called the 50 whatever, 50 kamarnikas, whatever, some small amount of money.
Right.
Okay, he went and he found the guy and he gave him the money and he said, "You'll pay me when you can." And he went and he took his talus off, and as soon as he put his talus over his eyes, he saw the Alter Rebbe.
Right.
The Alter Rebbe explained to him that, ani b'tzedek achsa panecha, I perceive your face in righteousness.
Right.
Okay, now, you have to understand, what is it? That the Tzemach Tzedek suddenly has this epiphany that I have to stop what I'm doing, I have to go do this other thing, because that would be the right thing to do. What was the Tzemach Tzedek doing till that time that the guy asked him? He had probably been up like 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is.
Learning.
If someone asked the Friedrich Rebbe a question, and he said that my son-in-law would be best to answer this question, the Rebbe. So he said, where can I find him? He said, generally you find him downstairs. He's got an office down there, but he's in the hallways a lot. You could ask him the question. And he said, what's the best time to catch him? So he told them the best time to catch him is at 4:30 in the morning. Because either he hasn't gone to sleep yet, or he's already done sleeping.
Right.
Okay, so the Alter Rebbe explained to him this vision that ani b'tzedek achsa panecha, with righteousness I perceive your face. And it's not the quarter is the issue. It's the
action.
The fact that you went and you did it. I'm thinking, going back to what the Tzemach Tzedek must have been doing.
Right.
Okay, he got up early in the morning. And he sat and he learned. Maybe he wrote something. He probably did write stuff. I mean, according to Hayom Yom, that it says that there is existent 50,000 little notebooks. The kind like you had when Hebrew school had the picture of the Rambam on it, the little notebooks. So there was Tzemach Tzedek used to write his stuff. I don't know if it has stuff. His machberot had pictures of the Rambam on them, per se. But they're little notebooks. Okay? In the course of his lifetime, from the time that he was 12 until the time that he passed away, at I think it was 78, there were 50,000 such notebooks. Okay, that comes out to
100s a day.
12 a day. So there's a good chance that he got up early and filled a notebook.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what percentage of those 50,000 notebooks we have.
Do we have any?
We have 43 volumes of the Tzemach Tzedek's writing called Orat Torah, that's on Chassidus.
Yeah.
And we have the Shilas and Shivas of the Tzemach Tzedek, which is, where's my Tzemach Tzedek? Maybe it's downstairs. It's like 7 or 8 volumes. And some of those are long. And so we have, I don't know, you know, the difference when you take something, you handwrite it, and as opposed to putting it into print.
Yeah, it's like
how many volumes is
50? One-tenth, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, so that's 5,000 volumes then.
Yeah.
5,000 notebooks it would be.
Right, right.
Okay,
right.
So 5,000 notebooks now becomes...
500 volumes, maybe?
Yeah, 500 volumes. We don't have 500 volumes.
Yeah.
We have 60 volumes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
One-tenth.
Yeah.
Over a tenth.
Right.
Wow.
So, and then I think what he was doing, so he's sitting and he's learning Chassidus. And obviously when he's on the walking to shul, he's thinking about what it was that he learned. And this guy came and interrupted him, which is why he said, oh, I can't deal with this now. Right. I'm trying to focus on my davening. Yeah. And if you've ever read the tract on prayer by the Rebbe Rashab, which is called Kuntres HaTfila, he says there, don't talk to anybody a half hour before davening. Because it'll mess up your thoughts. You'll be thinking about what you talked about with that person rather than what it was that you learned. So he said, I'm willing to take care of you, but then realizing that that's not the way to do it. Okay, I'm going to look for a good place to stop. And this then is a revelation of this godliness, that a person is now able to meditate in the greatness of Hashem and to give birth from this, at least to intellectually understand why it is that they should be in love with Hashem and why it is that they have fear of Hashem. Are in respect or awe of Hashem. We talked about this many times before. And then the good all becomes purified. The evil falls away. As it says, just as it is with the smith to the silver and the furnace to the gold, so should each person be praised. When is it Hashem is praised? When a person uses the depth of their knowledge and give birth to a fear and love, love and fear. And so too also from this thou the good is purified from the evil and evil falls away. The same thing that happens when you take a piece of gold and you throw it into a fire, it burns up all of the impurities.
Right.
So that's what happens now when this guy is giving tzedakah. Stay tuned. For next week we get up to Zahava Mitzarif Bakur.
Very good.
To be continued.